Great. So let's turn our attention, first panel, please, to Alison Schulnick's Eager. That's the title of the film and of the exhibition at Zia Smith Gallery. I also found on Vimeo an interview with Schulnick about her work, and it began with, "Hello, my name is Alison Schulnick," and I thought, that's maybe some significance in somebody pausing at the beginning of their own name. Is there something tentative about this work? Christina, let me start with you. It seems to be a highly accomplished animation and quite gripping in many ways. And then we have an exhibition of sculpture and clearly supporting materials or ancillary materials or spin-off materials. It's not an issue that's unique to Schulnick, of course, the relationship when you have a film with the supporting cast, as it were, of traditional mediums that might or might not have gone into making the film. But did you feel that this is somebody who's absolutely fully confident in all the mediums she grasps here, or is there some hierarchy? What was your feeling about her control of her materials?
I'm not sure how the mic is. Is that all right? It's interesting that you mentioned tentativeness as a first sort of quality that comes up. I would see the exact opposite, actually. I'm quite a fan of the work. I had some reservations about this particular exhibition, but if anything, I think the background in animation is quite key in her work. I think the instinct towards grabbing something, making it move, giving it life, having it be a character, having it perform, I think is a very direct gesture, and perhaps more direct in some senses than someone might have with a background in painting. It's a very tactile and immediate sensibility that I pick up on in her work, which I love, and I think I like her animations very, very much. I like her paintings more. I was very disappointed there was only one really big painting in this show, because I do think that the freedom that I see in the animations carries over to the paintings. And I think it's quite rare to see painters that have a real freedom of application and a kind of, again, the instinct towards animation leads to very interesting situations in the paintings, to my mind.
Harag, would you say that animation leads, that animates? Is there a hierarchy of materials, or do you think did the exhibition and its installation provide a happy meeting of these different expressions?
I mean, I have to say, I think the animation was certainly my favorite part of the show. You know, I think it's really developed. I think it's interesting. I think it sort of helps me understand her painting more, and I do like her painting. I'm not a big fan of her drawings. They're kind of all right. They seem sort of like quick thoughts or something. And her sculptures don't really do anything for me, I have to say. I feel like they feel a little dead, if that's the right word. But there's something about them that I don't think delivers what you see when you see an animation by her. And I think the animation, in a lot of ways, I mean, I sat in there and I kind of got lost in time. It's 8.5 minutes, I think, something like that. And I got lost in time because there's this element that sort of, you know, entrances you. And it's like this really beautiful rhythm that she has. And even like the fact that she intersperses it with the photographs of flowers. I mean, it's done in a way that you're kind of like, shouldn't, you know, I don't know if I would have done it, but somehow she makes it really work, you know?
Yeah, it's a very painterly animation, isn't it, Christian? Which is not a totally unfamiliar thing to us. We have the very draftsmanly Kentridge, and in fact, countless sort of animators who exploit the sense of the painterly. But what do you feel is the dynamics between the static works and the film and the show?
I want to answer your first question. Yeah. Yes. I think it's a fantastic show, and I think I don't think she's tentative at all. I'm with you, Christina. I think she's the opposite of tentative. She's in fact baroque, which I think sits particularly well with me, especially after having gone to see one of the shows that we'll talk about later, which I find very mannered. In fact, I think a lot of the work that's sort of out there in galleries these days is very mannered, and this comes off very, very differently, very energetic, obviously. I was not familiar with, I mean, I knew that she made animations. I hadn't had the privilege, and I mean that. Because I thought it was terrific. I think it reads really well, even on this screen, to be perfectly honest with you. The one thing I found lacking was I wanted more. I wanted more screen. I wanted it to look like Stan Douglas's movie over at Zwerner. I wanted that size. And I think it would have worked really, really well if it had been that size. And that's obviously sort of an issue of resources and not necessarily her resources. But I think the movie itself, the animation, what is it, claymation, modern dance, really is essentially sort of what it is. The scoring was great. Apparently, it took her 13 months, they told me at the gallery, to basically do it. So this is her production for a year, which might resolve the mystery as to why we have so few paintings. Of the two paintings that were there, I actually liked the little one better, not without not liking the big one. I thought the little one, which I think was called Porch Pot, was terrific, and it had this sort of, I mean, you know, look, all her work has this super impastoed, elaginous quality to it, right? But it sort of reminded me of stories about pollocks, about the pollocks that have been sort of conserved recently, where they find sort of flies embedded in it or cigarette butts, because there's an actual fly in the bloody thing, which is great. I mean, it's sort of terrific to look at that thing and to see how much energy goes into it, clearly, because the energy is literally sort of bas-relieving out, but then to also sort of find these details, accidental details, including the ones that are sort of obviously there. The sculpture, I actually like some of the sculpture. I agree that it's not of the same sort of uniform quality. I thought that she has a black dog head on sort of a granite plinth that I thought I liked. And the one I really liked was one that we saw there, but unfortunately we didn't see exactly the right side. I think it was Boneless Dog. You know, and I guess for no other reason, just the yob factor, because its schlong is literally sort of about the size of its leg. And it's actually funny to sort of come around it and sort of find that as a, you know, it's a discovery, essentially, while you're sort of looking at the piece. David, you took the nun side of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Well, we can see some splay. We can see some spatchcock on the way. I think it's that's what I was given. They offered.
I thought it was a great show.
Right.
Terrific show.
Okay. Well, it seems to be, despite my sort of improvised provocation, which doesn't really reflect my own view anyway, it seems to be a fairly uniform pleasure. Now, let's not say, oh dear, what a shame, we all love the show, let's go to the next one and hope we hate that. Let's instead actually slow down here and say, okay, we liked it. What did we really like about it? And if we really liked it, four of us really liked it, does it mean something? Is it? Let's go a little deeper with it if we can. The music gave a real mood to this film and gave it a little bit of a. It was sort of edgy it's a jolly soundtrack, but with a little bit of a tragic element here and there. Yes. What is the mood really of the film, Harag?
Well, I mean, I felt like there was a little bit of, I mean, there were certain things that are sort of prevalent right now in the galleries, and I think there was a little bit of this sort of, it felt a little 70s or something. There was like something about it that felt like a sort of a late modern kind of that era kind of feel to it. I mean, being Canadian, I felt like it was a little National Film Board of Canada. Like it would be like at the end, there would be like a little logo or yes. Something. You know, so there was an element of that. But I will say there was something that did occur to me when I was looking at the show, because I had sort of the privilege of having the gallery to myself. And I don't know if I would have liked it so much if it was a crowded gallery. And I've been thinking about that a lot because of the MoMA and like all these other like spaces that are getting more and more crowded. And I felt like a work like this would have lost a lot in a room where you couldn't have a quiet experience. And, you know, and I thought that was really something. And I never usually think that, but for somehow this particularly really sort of brought that up for me because of the type of music, because of that mood of this sort of like silence and this sort of like something that felt very delicate And in that kind of environment, I think that delicacy would just disappear, you know, or dissipate, you know? So that was something that I really noticed in the gallery.
Yeah. Did you feel, Christina, this was just an orgiastic celebration of nature, or did you feel there was some sort of foreboding sense of nature in crisis? What did you, was there anything you were picking up as far as its attitude towards nature is concerned?
Yes, actually, and I like that very much about the movie. Oddly, those photographs work when they're put in, and I think, you know, there's such a love of color in her work, so simply put. I mean, what a basic thing in a way, but it's, again, I think it's kind of rare that she really seems to jump in with both feet into whatever she's doing, and I think to jump into something as basic as, you know, the singing flower scene from Alice in Wonderland, this is a pretty direct, you know, there's a direct relationship, obviously, to jump in and to the exact same mood, not even trying to alter it. In the original, of course, when the flowers start singing to Alice, in the book they talk, but it's the same mood. It's both wonderfully exciting and a little bit scary. And I think that's carried over, you know, pitch perfectly through the film. And I think also the sadness of, I think it is a contemporary take on nature when there's tremendous anxiety surrounding the natural world right now and the state of it. And I think that she's not ignorant of that or, you know, setting it aside to think of how pretty flowers are. I think it's much richer than that. If I could just say one thing about your first question about what did we not like about it, just wanted to say that I think some of the things that have come up as some negatives, you know, the quality of the sculpture, some of them. I think this show suffered from that. I think what's a bit of a trend now, which is to show paintings and films in a way that is supposed to be theatrical and a little precious and to have props and spin-offs. And, you know, the wall painted black with the green strokes on it was fine, but there was nothing evoked by that kind of presentation that wasn't in the paintings itself. So I think it suffered from a kind of trendy or designer type installation that really didn't do the works any service.
I've seen some very spectacular exhibitions at Zia Smith, the preceding one, in fact, last year, of a very interesting German painter, whose name escapes me for this moment, but where the artist actually created a wallpaper for the space to sumptuous effect. Here, I felt the weakest link in the show was actually the installation, because the paintings, and especially the watercolors in themselves, were fine. They were not tremendously important, I don't think, works. I think they were supporting the film. But then, given, as you say, an entire black wall just for one very slight watercolor, I wondered, was this the artist attempting to make installation another layer of the whole experience, or was this a curatorial intervention, in which case I don't think it was such a helpful one. But let's stick, though, with the film, because I think the film, we've all agreed, is the major event. I say I want to stick with the film, but really it still comes back to me that this is such a painterly film, that it is actual clay, it is actual paint that is deployed as the material that's then transmogrified in the film. And the film then sends us back to, does the film sort of send us back to try to reanimate the other objects in the show? That's I think a legitimate question. Christian, do you feel that the film is equipping us to try to reanimate what we see in her painting?
Well, you know, I think she imagined that the entire show was of a piece. You know, you guys mentioned that they're supporting characters, which invariably means that they're star characters. And I think obviously the film is one of them, and then the two paintings, and maybe the sculptures are tertiary, and then sort of whatever the atmospherics are come after that. I give her props for essentially gilding the lily. I mean, I think that's what the entire sort of work is supposed to be about. You know, from the movie on to the supporting stuff that we may find slightly weaker or weak. You know, and I think that's, you know, really what her project is sort of largely about. The film, it, like the sculptures and the paintings, is, you know, is, it's blood and guts. Again, it's sort of like back to Baroque. It's you know, I find that the difference, if we remember art history, between Mannerism and Baroque is that one is essentially sort of basing itself on previous style, and the other one is sort of confronting nature a bit more directly. And I think that distinction is a distinction that might work if we think about her work maybe versus someone else that we're going to look at.
Yeah, well, when we get to look
at it, making it out to be a big mystery, aren't I?
Yeah.
Jump in. There was something about the work that I thought was really interesting. Was I thought this would actually even work on television. I mean, like, there was something about it that felt like popular, but at the same time had like a very like strong aesthetic and have sort of developed as an artwork. But it was really, I mean, I would watch that on Adult Swim, you know. You know, like, I think it would actually really work well.
But I think you're onto something, because direct relationships to nature don't tend to sort of be, they don't function very well in the art box. There's a direct appeal, there's a direct relationship to a viewer that, if mediated by the art box, it does certain things, but it doesn't need it, you know?
But does the film portend a deeper spiritual meaning of some sort for you, Christian, or is it just a fun, nice experience?
Well, I mean, I think any sort of honest, and I think this is, engagement with nature, or even culture for that matter, is intended to be sincere. This is certainly. So I don't know if I can sort of parboil something, you know, down for you in terms of an actual sort of line, but because I don't think it's there. I think it's too multivalent for that. But there's clearly sort of a connection to, again, back to, I don't want to repeat myself endlessly, but back to a more primary relationship, say, with a subject matter than, you know, maybe other work that's out there.
Yes. Yes, please.
I really liked what you said, and I liked the fact that you used the term blood and guts in relation to this, because one thing that I think the reason I'm drawn to her work in part is the implication it has for figurative painting and figurative work right now. I think she's very much an artist working from, you know, the inside out. Again, maybe what you're saying in terms of a kind of sincere, direct engagement with nature and with the body. And I think I thought those little figures she had choreographed were fabulous. I'm not always sure about all of her central figure choices. I mean, a sad clown is questionable, I think. But I do think that she's really working with how do you think about the body and how do you think about characters and people and living things, doing things in paintings. And I don't think we see enough of that. So I think she represents some nice possibilities for figurative painting.
Yeah, I must say, when I saw the film from the beginning, I was discombobulated slightly. I thought, well, is this? Are they actual dancers there? I had to watch it a couple of times to really get that it actually was merely clay. That it was so. It felt more like dancers imitating clay than it felt like clay simulating dancing figures. So I just feel it's technically a tour de force, and it just has a kind of good vibe to it, a kind of a joy to it. I mean, that's something that's particularly rare, I think, in contemporary art is a sort of Alexander Calder-like whimsy and good-natured, good humor, and taking a sort of pleasure in the elasticities of material. So, I think we can give four thumbs up to.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
Because how boring would it have been really if it wound up being sort of about, you know, climate change? You know, and I totally agree with you that essentially, the joy, the pleasure, the evident pleasure that's there, both I think in the paintings and particularly in the video. Is really kind of ultimately what it's about. And for me, it was terrific to go. I was really sorry I didn't go last week so that I wrote about it.
Well, that's a high praise. That's better than a line in one's resume. Excellent.